Good morning and welcome. It's lovely to see you all here from our various churches in the circuit. And I have to say, it always seems to fall to my lot to be on duty on this day, but it really is a privilege and a pleasure to welcome all of you here. I feel that over the months we're beginning to know each other. I'm recognising faces, and perhaps you might remember mine now and again. So it's lovely to have you here. Thank you very much for coming. Please do stay for coffee afterwards. We've opened up the classroom, so there will be two hatches, and you can bring your coffee back into church, in the coffee lounge, or in the classrooms on the other side, room one and two. I'd like to take this opportunity, this is spontaneous for me, but to say thank you to all the people, the hidden secret people, who have helped to do this service and every service, and no doubt back in your churches every Sunday. This service has taken at least 10 people who have done a contribution before, during and afterwards. And I think sometimes we can take for granted that it just happens. And believe me, if you're a steward or a member of your own church, you know it does not just happen. Lots of people give their time and dedication and enjoy it. But to them, whoever you all are, and I think nearly every one of you might wear that crown at some stage, thank you so much indeed. Thank you to our team today and every week, and also to thank you, your teams, that welcome us when we visit you. It's always a pleasure to go on a circuit one when you're not in charge. You can sit back and actually feel the service being part of you, not wonder about the windows, the music, and why is somebody late, and things like that. So we're going to welcome Debbie and Stephen to lead our worship this morning. Now, as you arrived, you will have been given a paper with a crown and a cross on it. More people have come than there are pieces of paper. So if you're one of the deprived people, if you talk nicely next to the person near you or your other half, perhaps you can have a crown and a cross and do a swapsies when the time comes. But if you've just run short, I'm very sorry. But thank you for coming, and you can still be part of the worship today. And now we're ready for Stephen and Debbie to lead us in worship. Thank you. Where are they? Oh, they're behind.
Behind
you again.
I do love creeping up on people. Well, good morning, everyone. It's great to be here with you. Yes, apologies if you haven't got a crown and a cross, but that means we've got over 100 people here, which is wonderful. So it's great to be sharing in worship with all of you. Now, 117. That's pretty good. I need to make sure I do 120 next time then. Or should I go for 150 and be optimistic?
No, anyway. No chairs.
But it's great to be here worshipping with you. And it's, I'm afraid I'm going to tell you a scary thing. It's a Sunday before Advent Sunday. So it's getting close. So we're looking at the theme is Christ the King. So we're going to have our call to worship led by Sheila.
Our call to worship this morning comes from the book of Jeremiah, when the Lord said, "The days are coming when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteous Saviour."
Please stand as you are able as we sing together, "Light of the World, You Step Down into Darkness."
That man.
So
here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Of all days, oh, so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for the sake became poor. So here I am to worship, here I am bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. And I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross, and I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
Please be seated. And let us pray. Loving God, all good, all true, all powerful, almighty, we worship you. Gracious God, all loving, all merciful, all faithful, all compassionate, we thank you. Mighty God, always active, always leading, always calling, always knowing, we commit ourselves to you. Saving God, always forgiving, always restoring, always teaching, always encouraging, we come to you. And sovereign God, all in all, now and always, we praise you, we worship you, we lift our hearts before you. We celebrate your goodness. We rejoice in your blessings. We marvel at your mercy. And we thank you for your guidance. Living God, take this service, this day, our churches, our lives, and use them for your purpose and your kingdom. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And we say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. So now we sing together the splendour of the King. Please stand as you are able.
the splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God, sing with me how great is our God.
Please be seated. And so now we have our, well, effectively second reading. It's from Colossians.
It's Colossians chapter 1. I'm reading from verse 9 to verse 20. Using a new international version. We continue to ask that God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us unto the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile himself to all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much. Mandy, if we could have the PowerPoint up, please. Oh, no, wait a minute. I keep on doing this. We are now going to sing together. Jesus is King, I will extol him. Yeah, you have to stay on your toes with me, actually. Please stand.
Jesus is King, and I will extol him, giving the glory and honor his name. He reigns on high, enthroned in the heavens. Word of the Father, exalted for us.
It's odd, but as we're coming to Advent, the Sunday before Advent, we're going to have a Good Friday reading in a minute, but that's for later. But in some ways, we're looking at Jesus the King. Jesus the King. Now, if we can have the next. Okay, so how many of you have seen this? Or should I say, have seen him? So who is he? The King. King Charles the Third. Thank you. I was going to say second. I was a bit ahead. But King Charles the Third. The Third. Have any of you seen or met the King? Well, have any of you met the King? No? Oh, yes. Hold it. Can I ask you about it?
It's a long time ago. It was a long time ago. It's a Christie's hospital.
Is this working?
It's working.
Am I meant to switch it on?
Yes. Green light.
Oh, got it.
Right. These on-off switches, anyway.
Yeah, yes, it was a long time ago when he wasn't king. Yeah. And he visited Christie's Hospital. And I was part of a fundraising group for Christie's and happened to meet him there. Yeah.
Oh, right. And as a prince, what was he like?
It's very difficult to say, but he asked everyone the same question. He went along, he went along the road, and everybody, you know, he asked the same question to everyone. So that was about it.
Right. Okay. Then. Thank you. Right. Okay. Right. So there's an experience. So, what does the king do? Well, what does a king do? And what sort of character would you want in the king? Now, I'm going to get you to do some work now. Sorry. But actually, what I'd like you to do is just chat to the person next to you. If you don't know them, introduce yourselves to them. And say, okay, what do you think a king should do? And what would you expect to be their character? You know, what sort of person should they be? Okay, so what should a king do, and what should they be like? Go. Okay, right. Okay. Okay, I don't want you getting too friendly here. Anyway. Okay, so what do you expect from a king? What do you think they do or they're meant to do? Love the people, care. Yeah. Set an example. Set a good example, I think, isn't it? Yeah. Yep. Yeah, anything else? Sorry? Authority. Authoritative. Yeah, golly, I have difficulty with that word. Yep, anything else? Distribute his wealth. Wow. There's a Republican speaking there. Yeah. Anything else? Well, he did, but to his family. Anyway, anything else? Unite the country. Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Yeah?
Be godly as he's head of the Church of England.
Be godly because he's the head of the Church of England. Yeah. Right, okay. Yeah. I'll send your replies up to him. Yeah, I was thinking about that. Yeah, okay. Kings, well, leaders of nations, they're meant to rule, serve their country, care for the people. They should be just and fair, shouldn't they? They should represent their people. And actually, you know, in some ways, King Charles has been given a lot, but actually he has also given his life to serve his country. And in the old days, kings and queens had total power. They had power of life and death over people. Woe betide you if you crossed the king. And they had authority and power. They could compel people to do things. They could command them to do them, and they had to do them. Next one, please. Well, we talk about Jesus as our King, our Christ the King. But what sort of King is Jesus? Is he a King to be feared, to tremble before him? Well, sometimes we have a close relationship with Jesus, an intimate relationship with Jesus. And we're coming up to Advent where we focus on this Jesus being a vulnerable, weak baby, dependent on his parents, Mary and Joseph. But actually, we also ought to remember just who came down to earth for us. And in that reading from Colossians, where Paul's writing a letter to Colossians, it's almost as though he's quoting a hymn from verse 15, an early Christian hymn. And he talks about Jesus, you know, not just being the King of Kings and Lords of Lords, but he talked about Jesus as being the image of the invisible God, i.e. that is that Jesus reflects and reveals the Father in heaven. Paul talks about him as the firstborn over all creation. And being the firstborn in those days meant you had the authority and the power. But he goes on further. It talks about Jesus having the priority and sovereignty. By him all things were made in earth and heaven, visible and invisible, Paul goes on to say. Thrones and powers and rulers and authorities. You can imagine Paul getting carried away as he's dictating this letter. And Paul goes on to say, all things were created by him and for him. And he is the head of the body, the head of the church. He is the beginning, Paul goes on to say. He is the firstborn of the dead. And he has supremacy over everything. In other words, he's the ultimate authority and he's the power. Whoa. That's big. This sounds like someone we need to take seriously. But not only is he this creator, powerful, mighty, he's something else as well. Another question for you. You don't have to chat, just throw out what you think. What do you think Jesus is like according to the Bible? What does the Bible say about Jesus? Or what's your impression about Jesus from the Bible?
Compassionate.
Good. Loving. Good communicator. Caring.
Challenging.
Yeah. Pardon? Resilient. Oh, that's a good one. Yeah.
Lonely.
Yeah. Lonely. Oh, that's an interesting one.
I might throw that out as a discussion starter sometime. Is he lonely? I've got a few things here. Jesus is humble. He's kind. He's compassionate. He's passionate as well. He's caring. He's loving. He's challenging. He's got authority. He's got healing power. But he's also human. He knows what we go through. Now, do you remember Princess Diana? This is dating us, by the way, folks. Do you remember Princess Diana?
Yes.
Yes. What was she known as or nicknamed? The People's Princess. Now, why was she called or lovingly known as the People's Princess?
She related to people.
She related to people.
Yes,
she related to people in great difficulty, and she reached out to them, yeah. And in some ways caring and compassionate. Jesus, holding all those things of his supremacy, his authority, his power, his might, he put those aside to come down as a baby, to come to his people, to come to save, to reconcile us with God. And instead of giving his life to serve his country, Jesus gave up his life on the cross to save all people, to make them fit for his kingdom. Jesus should be the king of our hearts as well. And he's got an offer. Next one, please. Now, unlike kings and queens of old, he does not compel anyone to do anything. If you notice in the Bible, he always gives people a choice. And he doesn't compel us to do anything, but he offers us forgiveness and reconciliation with God, being part of his family and his kingdom. How are we to respond to this? I think I'll leave Debbie to talk that one through. But we're going to sing now. It's good to hear that you are in good voice, because you're going to need it for this one. Because this is about our great Saviour and what he has done for us, and what that means to us in this wonderful hymn. And can it be that I should gain an interest in my Saviour's blood?
Can it be that I should gain an interest in the Saviour's blood? Died he for me, who caused his pain, for me, through him, to death pursued. How can it be that thou
died for me.
Amazing love. How can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? 'Tis mystery all, immortal dies. Who can explore his strange design? In vain the firstborn seraph tried to sound the death of love divine. 'Tis mystery all, mercy, O let at the door, let angel minds inquire no more. He left his father's throne above, so free, so infinite his grace. Did himself of all but love, and bled for Adam's helpless race. 'Tis mercy all, immense and free. For all, my God, if thou doubt me, 'tis mercy all, immense and free. For, oh my God, it found out me. Long my imprisoned spirit lay, was bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I walked the dungeon flame with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. O condemnation now I dread, Jesus and all in him is mine. Alive in him, I live in heaven, and glory in righteousness divine. Bold I approach the eternal throne, and break the ground to Christ my own. Bold I approach the eternal throne, and claim the crown through Christ my own.
Ah, yes, sit down and recover. So now we're going to have a reading from Luke's Gospel, and I'm inclined to say Happy Easter, everyone. But here we go.
The Gospel reading from Luke 23, starting from verse 33. when they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I'm coming down among the people.
In so many ways, the scriptures speak to us, don't they? Whatever other words may be added. That Easter reading, that Good Friday reading, that Holy Week reading that seems so poignant and challenging as we begin to let go of an old year, you might say, and begin to look forward to a new year that will begin, a new church year that will begin in Advent. And we've already begun to explore some of those aspects of what Advent means. But it seems really important that we take a moment to reflect on this Christ the King Sunday, of what Jesus has done for us, as we have already been reflecting in him and in word that Stephen has shared and that all of us have shared together. I wonder, as we reflect on the reading that we've just heard and as we reflect again on that Christ the King aspect, what is it about this reading from the Gospel of St. Luke that speaks to us this Christ the King Sunday? You have really helpfully, led by Steve, you've really helpfully picked out some of the aspects of Jesus's kingship and what it means. And here we have this poignant, challenging, humbling picture of Jesus, God on the cross in his son Jesus. And through it all, as all the Gospels pick out of this crucifixion scene, it seems that Jesus remains in control despite of all that's happening to him. It was for deliberate purpose that the authorities crucified Jesus between two robbers, staged to humiliate Jesus in front of the crowd and to rank him with robbers. And in this account of the crucifixion, Jesus is ridiculed and mocked three times. We heard that word sneer from the gospel reading. Three times mocked by the Jewish leaders, by the Roman soldiers, and by one of those crucified with him. But it's really interesting, isn't it? And the gospels pick out this. The bystanders, those who are watching, don't really react. They just watch. They just contemplate. They just reflect. Maybe they're too scared to say anything. And I often think, when I come to these pictures of Jesus on the cross, what it would have been like to be in that crowd, what it would have been like to be one of those bystanders. And in church and in worship, I often think, what is it? Sometimes I feel I'm a little bit of a bystander watching what's going on. And I really need to get involved and think, what is Jesus saying to me today? What is Jesus saying to us today on this Christ the King Sunday? In the sneering and in the mocking, the pattern is, if you are the Messiah, then save yourself. Recalling those three temptations in the wilderness when Jesus was at the very beginning of his public ministry, wrestling with what it would mean to be a saviour, what it would mean to be God's son, what it would mean to offer ministry to those who would meet him. And in those early days, Jesus learned something about his identity, his power, and his calling. We've already heard mention about what is a calling of Jesus, his vocation. And here it is writ large on a cross, humbled, vulnerable, and yet so powerful. Again, Jesus' concern is not for himself and his own needs, and we know how excruciating crucifixion would have been. To actually breathe out those words, Jesus would have had to really take in all his breath to get the words out, but he was concerned out of his kindness, compassion, love, care for those around him, that even at this moment, they really understood that God wanted to save, that Jesus' job was coming, his task was coming to show that saving power of God. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. I feel quite vulnerable this week because I've had to ask for forgiveness for various things that I haven't done quite right. And I was thinking about what it would be like to receive and hear those words from Christ on a cross. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And then in Luke's gospel particularly, just in Luke's gospel, we hear that forgiveness become very personal. Because Jesus prays for forgiveness for those who are crucifying him because they don't know what they're doing. Prayers for Jewish leaders and Roman soldiers and the like. But secondly, there's this beautiful intimate encounter with one of the criminals who acknowledges his own need, as it were, his own need of forgiveness. You know, to his other compatriot on the cross, both criminals crucified along with Jesus. You know, we deserve what we got, but this man is innocent. He's done nothing wrong. Recognizing again that this rejected Messiah does indeed have power to save, and those words of forgiveness come truly cascading over to him. And I wonder again if we need to hear those words again as we come towards the end of an old year, coming into a new year. What is Advent going to mean for us? What is receiving Jesus and welcoming him as King going to mean for us this Advent? Do we need to pause again and just contemplate that forgiveness, that power to save, that vulnerability, that humility of Jesus coming to us? I'm not suggesting we are. Well, it's a bit like I was thinking about that the man who prayed, you know, a humble, you know, I don't deserve, forgive me, Lord, you know, I'm just a humble sinner. I am in need, standing in need, bending down in need today. And I wonder if, again, we've perhaps feel that sense of needing to be released from some of the things that hold us, just to know again that forgiveness, that kindness, that peace, that healing, that compassion of Jesus, that power to save. When we were talking about the service earlier on in the week, we thought it would be an opportunity, just an opportunity, as Steve has said, an offer, an invitation, maybe in the course of our singing of a hymn or in the course of our service today, just to maybe acknowledge our own need of Jesus' saving love and compassion and mercy and peace again as we approach this significant time of Advent, this new beginnings almost, this renewal, this refreshment, this sense of looking forward and expectation to all that God has for us in Christ. Just to acknowledge our need. And we're going to do that very simply. The little pictures of cross or crown have been distributed to many of us. And we may feel that we need to lay down a crown. I don't know what that would mean for you, but you may need to feel that there's an opportunity maybe to lay your crown down, to recognise again the love and the compassion Jesus has for you, but also the authority and the kingship of Jesus. Whatever kingship of Christ means for you, that servanthood of Jesus coming to you. And you may want to lay down your own crown, as it were, to receive again and be refreshed again in that kingship, that servanthood, that love of Christ. So with the little crown picture, you may wish to pop it in one of the... shall we have this one as the...
Well, no, they're both.
They're both. You may want to take a moment just to lay down in either of the offering plates in front of the crosses there, just as a symbol of receiving again, or submitting again, honouring again the kingship of Jesus that he has for you in your life. You may wish to lay them down. But also, there's the picture of the cross that, again, Steve has printed on this picture here. And although, again, you may wish to take that home as a reminder of all that the cross means, of all that the way that Christ carries you. The thief on the cross said, the penitent thief said, "Remember me, Jesus, when you come into your kingdom." It always reminds me of that Tese chant, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." Very simple. Remember me in my need, whatever that need might be. Christ remembers you. Christ carries you. And as we go through into the Advent season, perhaps it's a reminder of Christ coming not only for us, but for the whole world. So much at the moment is, the world is in need of people who serve, people who carry their crosses, you might say, people who intercede for the world in all its beauty and chaos and need. And you may want to carry this cross with you as a reminder through this coming season of what Christ has won for you, but what Christ has given for the whole world. But again, if you want to lay your cross down, that's okay too. That's okay too. Christ from the cross, a place of vulnerability and yet from significant honour and power and majesty, invites us again to receive that forgiveness, to receive that peace, and to receive again all that he has to offer for life in all its fullness. "Today you will be with me in paradise," he says to the one who turns to him and trusts in him and holds to him. Perfect gift, a beautiful place to be. So we're going to sing again in a moment or two, and the musicians have been working so hard. Thank you so much. Just before we do that, we thought that we might take a moment to offer a prayer of confession in the quietness. And again, we can sit quietly, and just in the quietness, this prayer says this: "Lord, forgive us when we have neglected or rejected to acknowledge or profess your importance in our lives. Sometimes other things take priority, Lord, for good reason, but sometimes we get waylaid. Forgive us when we have prioritised other things before you, and we've enthroned other things in our hearts. Help us again to restore our focus on you, to align ourselves with you, and help us to begin again and to receive that peace, that healing, that kindness, that unifying grace that you alone can bring. Redeem us, Saviour God, and help us to hear those words of peace and forgiveness even now. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer." And so we're going to sing that one of the Wesley hymns, "Love Divine, All Loves Excelling, Joy of Heaven to Earth Come Down." And very cleverly, in one of the verses, Steve spotted, it says, We lay our crowns before you, lost in wonder, love and praise. And lost in wonder, love and praise, we may wish very quietly either to come forward and place our crowns, to lay our crowns before God in the offering plates there, or just sitting where we are, quietly in our seats or standing. We may wish, you know, to bow down in our own space and give God the glory in our crown, as it were. So, love divine, all loves excelling, joy of heaven to earth come down, we sing together.
Please be seated. For our intercessions, please, would you mind responding to the bidding, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, with the response, "We will serve you above all others." King of Kings, Lord of Lords, we will serve you above all others. Let us pray. Let us pray for those who have authority over our lives because they wield political power. For governments elected by the people and those imposed upon them by tradition or force of arms. We pray that governments may serve their people with wisdom, justice, and compassion. King of Kings, Lord of Lords, we will serve you above all others. Let us pray for those who have authority over our lives, because they have authority over us,
at our places of work. For all those in charge of others, for leaders of industry and of business, and for leaders of trades unions. We pray for those in charge of the work of others, that they may be fair-minded, honest, and caring. King of kings, Lord of lords, we will serve you above all others. Let us pray for those who have authority over our lives because their influence upon our way of thinking, for teachers and lecturers, for journalists and broadcasters. We pray for those who inform us that they may strive to be knowledgeable, truthful, and balanced. King of kings, Lord of lords, we will serve you above all others.
Let us pray for those who have authority over our lives because their love and nurturing affect the people we become. For parents and guardians, for friends and partners. We pray for those who care for us, that they may be responsible, loving, and supportive. King of kings, Lord of lords,
we will serve you above all others.
Let us pray for those who are in position of authority within the life of the church, for all ministers of the word and sacraments, for all preachers and teachers, for those responsible for discussing and formulating church doctrine, practice, attitudes, and action. We pray for all those within authority within the church, that they may safeguard and his world with humility, love, and understanding. King of kings, Lord of lords,
We will serve you above all others.
Let us pray for ourselves as we try, with the help of God's Holy Spirit, to discover the right authorities for our lives, as we search for the true morality that is dictated by love. As we make decisions about the ways in which we spend ourselves and our lives, we pray that you, Lord, will bring your true authority to bear upon our lives. King of kings, Lord of lords,
we will serve you above all others.
In the name of our Lord and Master, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Thank you very much. And we're just, I'm going to just share an offering prayer. Not just for the money that we've given, but also for the lives that we have offered. So let us pray. Loving God, you give to us so much. especially through your Son, Jesus Christ. And we pray that you may accept the gifts of money to be used for the work of your kingdom, but also accept the gifts of our lives to you. And may you use them for your glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
And so now we look forward to the coming of the King as we sing together, "Sing We the King Who Is Coming to Reign." Please stand.
Sing we the King who is coming to reign. Glory to Jesus, the Lamb that was slain. Life and salvation his empire shall bring. Joy to the nations when Jesus is King. Come, let us sing praise to our King, Jesus the King, Jesus our King. This is our song, who to Jesus belong. Glory to Jesus our King. All shall be well in his kingdom of peace. Freedom shall flourish and wisdom increase. Justice and truth from his scepter shall spring. Wrong shall be ended when Jesus is King. Come, let us sing praise to our King, Jesus our King, Jesus our King. This is our song, who to Jesus belong. Glory to Jesus our King. Souls shall be saved from the burden of sin. Doth thou not darken his witness within? Hell has no terrors, and death has no sting. Love is victorious when Jesus is King. Come, let us sing praise to our King, Jesus our King, Jesus our King. This is our song, who to Jesus belong. Glory to Jesus our King. Kingdom of Christ, for your coming we pray. Hasten, O Father, the dawn of the day. When this new song your creation shall sing, Satan is vanquished and Jesus is King. Come, let us sing praise to our King, Jesus our King, Jesus our King. This is our song, who to Jesus belong. Glory to Jesus our King.
And so I'd like to invite you all to share with us in refreshments. I think they will be provided in the hall, hopefully. Is it in the hall?
One room 1 and 2. Bring it back into church or join us in the coffee lab.
Yes. So you can collect it from the hall and then you can bring it into the coffee lounge or into the church We don't mind. We love to have you share with us all. So please come and join us. And we're going to say the grace. We're going to share the grace together. If you do not know this prayer, please listen to it and be blessed by it. And so may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.